This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The other thing about this is I keep feeling like I have to sneeze, and then I don't. And it's these long, awkward pauses. And I know I'm susceptible to those anyway, but woo! It's been a rough one. It's been a rough week. I was, you know, trying to, like, practically isolate. I've been watching, Fleegs will be excited to hear this. I've been watching some of the old 24. Because it's my favorite season. We've talked about this. I did want to get into it just by watching the last, I think like the last six or seven episodes of season five.
While you're taking care of yourself, God. I was thinking about just the other day walking out of here, just walking to my car a half a block away in New York City.
Yeah.
Randomly popped into my head, man, there's never been anything on television like the premiere of season five of 24.
Sorry. Yes. No, I mean, and I just don't feel that same way about TV anymore. Certainly not, not regular TV where there's, I mean, when's the last time, I don't know about you, but like Fox or NBC, like everything to me is the streaming show. If I can, like, I never feel like, oh, it's Wednesday night, I got to put on NBC because, you know, new show Watson's on or whatever. Like, I'm not there yet, but with any of those shows. But yeah, 24, love it. So I was watching the last couple of five, and I'm going to go to six and seven because I don't remember them that well. I don't know why. Maybe because, like, I was a real nut for the first couple of seasons, and I feel like I watched those a bunch on DVD. And by the time, like, seven and eight, I didn't feel the same way. I still liked it, but it wasn't, like, the same way. All right, I'm particularly going through a bad stretch right now. All right, 309. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to see if I can go to the call. Save me. Forget me. Just the quality of the program. Call in, 888-808-1019. Save me.
Listen,
from this.
Listen, if you're a caller that wants to get some run on WFAN,
Let's go. Is
the time.
Now is the time. You will have some time. All right, I feel like I'm past it. I had a particular tickle there in the throat that I had to get rid of. All right. You know, the thing with the Glaber thing, I just want to make one more point. I'm going to take John's call on it. The one thing I'll say about, like, that it reminds me of, like, is it's like refusing, or whether it's worth it or it's a good idea, or like, is it, because I think the pushback is, well, if you're the manager and you think that's what's best, you think moving Glaber over, and your general manager told you, I'm trading him to get a second baseman. I'm trading for Jazz because we know we need to improve defensively. It's at second base in particular. There's less to do. He doesn't have to worry about double plays. Because he also talked about Stroman and how he thinks Stroman's actually better than his numbers last year because the defense let him down. I think part of that was double plays. So it was the idea of getting Glaber off of second, getting more the more athletic, better defensive Jazz Chisholm there so he could help turn double plays. You move Glaber over to third and you live with it there as opposed to second. So the idea, well, if that's what the organization wanted to do and that's what the manager believes he should do, then that's what they should do. And you shouldn't allow the player to determine what you do. If he doesn't want to do it, tough. And I understand that thought process. But let me link it to a football scenario. Because I think Giant fans would understand this. And I think all football fans would understand it. Because I think a lot of Giant fans feel this way. There's a difference between wanting Shedeur Sanders and having him there at the third pick and taking him, or having to trade up to get him. Like, if your plan is to draft Shedeur Sanders, but then he's not there, or you'd have to move up to get him, now your plans change. They wanted Gleyber Torres to go play third. Once he fights you on that, you have to make a decision on whether it's still worth it. Because they needed him offensively. And you have to make that decision on whether or not I'm going to get the best out of this player if I force this on him. It's not about ego, and it's not about, hey, I'm the manager. Sometimes it is. But with Gleyber Torres, in that scenario, you needed the best out of Gleyber. It's about putting your players in the best position to succeed. That's why I kind of disagree with the idea that Jason Dominguez is going to be the left fielder as opposed to the center fielder. I think he's more comfortable in center field. I think you're putting Jason Dominguez in a better position to succeed, certainly to start the year, if you put him in center. We'll see how spring training goes, but that's how I feel about it. But Gleyber Torres is someone who made a position switch, and it ruined him in 2020 and 2021. He did not want to see him ruined again offensively. He needed him to get better, and he did. It was the right move. Let's go to John in Huntington. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, bud?
What's going on?
Funny, you brought up, first of all, 24 is probably one of the greatest TV shows ever made.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Jack Bauer and Tony Soprano are the two great anti-heroes in television history. I wouldn't argue with anyone who said Tony Soprano's the greatest. It's incredibly written, and it's a different type of show. But, I love Jack Bauer.
If Kiefer changed his name to Jack Bauer in real life, I thought it was a smart move. It was just so great.
No, it was so great. So now I'm going to watch season 6,
but you're
even
right,
though I didn't love
7
it.
7 and 8 did kind of fall off. Like, it just got, like, weirdly repetitive or something.
I thought, to me, the best season is 5. My 2 and 5 are right there for me. But after 5, I thought, now I'm going to rewatch it, and I haven't seen it in a long time, so I'll see if it still feels this way to me. I didn't like 6. I remember feeling like 6 was the worst. I remember after season 6, I said, that one really felt like...
It definitely got weird.
It felt like that was the first letdown. Then, like, 7 and 8, the rest of them all run together in my mind. I can't even tell you...
Then they did that weird reboot one, which I didn't really care for either.
Well, then he came back for half a day, and then they did the reboot with a completely different cast, and it didn't work at all.
Yeah, that just didn't work.
It doesn't work without Jack Bauer. And they've been talking about doing a movie for forever, but...
Oh, I know, but, like, it's something about that format of the hour of the day being each episode made it. it was just incredible.
Right.
But I actually called you a few months back, and I called you, and we were talking about Gleyber, and saying that, like, you know, given his second half, you know, play and blah, 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 would it be worth, you know, if they had to offer him, how you would have felt about that. And we were kind of on the fence, like, you know what, maybe, yeah, you take him back at that point, you know, with the qualifying offer.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if you watch, is Jazz supposed to be the second baseman this year or the third baseman?
I don't know. Cashman just literally said that you could see him play both during the season. I think they'd rather have him at second.
All right, so, like just watching Jazz ball hit to him, field, throw, you know, I thought everything was phenomenal at third. Now, did he know where he was supposed to be on cutoffs and certain right. plays? What the Dodgers exploited, I think that was a problem. But the guy never played the position either.
Right.
So I think with a full year there, I think he would be very good. I honestly do believe he would be very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be. I think he'll be fine at third base. And look, Jazz showed you the ability to make the incredible play and the inability to be extremely consistent with the easy play. I mean, that's what you saw. And he wasn't great coming in on a ball. But he's going to have to, you know, he'll adjust to that, and we'll see where he plays. I think they'd rather have him at second base. But I think he'd be fine either one. He talked about depending on who's on the mound. Like, I would think whoever they deem to be their best defensive third baseman, whether it's DJ LeMahieu, Oswaldo Cabrera, or Jazz Chisholm, which I don't think it would be. It would be one of those two. When a left-hander's on the mound facing a lot of right-handed hitters, I think they would put the better defenseman at third and put Jazz at second. And then maybe against right-handed pitchers on the mound, you could see Jazz at third a little bit, but I don't know. I think I'd rather just keep him somewhere. But I got another brilliant response on Twitter. You can always hit me up on Twitter at CMAC, WFAN. They can make players not have beards. You should have just said shave. They can make players not have beards, but can't have them move positions like the Dodgers and other teams do. McNeil plays two positions, but Torres can't. That's some soft BS.
You know, to give credit for you, when we were talking about this off the air, that was the joke you made. Somebody's going to say to me, have a beard, but.
Yeah, I know. I nailed it. I knew someone would say that. Here's the thing. Don't play other positions like other teams do. Have you been watching the Yankees? We've been killing them for having guys play other positions. Killing them! Last year, how many first basemen played left field? In 2023. The Yankees move guys all over the field. The idea they can't have guys play other positions, they have so many guys play other positions. Judge can play left and center. Obviously, they brought in Jazz to be a second baseman. They move him to third. When they were down guys in left field 2 years ago, they had everybody play left field. They have guys out of and intermingling with positions all over the place. What are you talking about? And yes, unfortunately, Glaber is soft to say no. That's the deal. Glaber's soft. DJ LeMahieu plays first base, second base, third base. Oswaldo Cabrera, first base, second base, shortstop, first base, third base. They play all over the place. They have half the roster plays multiple positions. What are we talking about? This is one guy who refused DJ LeMahieu when said, you're our backup first baseman. He said, okay, I'll go get a first baseman's mitt. Gleyber Torres said, no, don't you dare. And the last time they switched him off second base, he failed miserably. Both defensively and offensively. It was the two worst years of his career. They didn't want to see that happen again once they told him he didn't want to do it. And you're going to correlate it with shaving? They also make you on time to meetings. So you can make them be on time. You can make them be punctual, but you can't make them change positions? That's a team rule. It's not the same as mid-season saying, hey, you've been our second baseman all year, all last year, but we just traded for Jazz. You're moving the third. In my mind, I agree with you. Torres should have been like, okay, I'll take this as a challenge, and I'm going to go be the best damn third baseman I can be. But once he said he didn't want to do it, you have to decide, how do I get the best out of Glaber? Because they're not jettisoning him. They're not trading him. He's going to have to be in the lineup every day producing. So how do they get the best version of Gleyber? Forcing him to do it or backing off? That was the decision the manager made. And guess what? He got the best out of Gleyber. It was the right move. Like, that's what's, why are we mad about it? It worked. It worked. You can't point to two defensive plays in the World Series and say, see? Like, as if Gleyber was at third, he catches that ball on the hop at third base. Or if even Jazz was at second base, he definitely makes that the play on the throw-in from Soto. We have no idea. All I know is Gleyber hit his ass off. All I know is Gleyber was getting a leadoff single to start every single game in the postseason. Ryan in Manhattan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. I was the guy that tweeted the Gleyber question to you, so I appreciate your feedback on it.
Sure. No problem, sure. Ryan. I got you. Listen, we respond. We can have a disagreement.
Yeah, no, and that's totally fine. But I do have a question quickly,
sure.
And I'll hang up for it. But I always wondered, why didn't we ever play Gleyber at third in his younger days when he was, like, you know,
I do.
22,
yeah.
23, you know, like, what? Why did he never get that sort of, that opportunity there?
I don't know specifically. I think there was a time he might have profiled as a third baseman when he had a little bit more power. I think he did play a handful of games at third base over his career. Did he play any at third base? No. He did, in the minor leagues, I know he did play some third base, but he never played third base at the major league level. I'm trying to think. They had different guys playing the position. They had Andujar in 2018 and 2019.
Yeah, Andujar, Chase Headley before
Gio,
that.
Gio Rochelle. Well, no, yeah, but no, he was, Chase Headley was before Gleyber Torres got there. Chase Headley was, Gleyber came up in 2018. So I'm trying to think who got hurt. Oh, no, Andujar was the starting third baseman that entire year, I think, in 2018. And then, because they had, third base was, what's his name from New Jersey? From Toms River, New Jersey.
Frazier.
Frazier was the third baseman.
Frazier
in 17.
Was 17, right?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So he was 17. I'm trying to think if there was
Andujar was 2018.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if he started the year. I know he was 2018. I'm not sure if he was the opening day starting.
He played 149 games.
Yeah, so he was. All right, pretty much. So, yeah, Andujar
and Urshela took over the job in 2019.
Yeah, right. Andujar got hurt within a few weeks, if even that. In the start of 2019, they got Gio Urshela. So then they had Gio Urshela. It was never like third base was a gaping hole. Why not try Gleyber? They moved him the second he was successful. And again, I blame Gleyber. Now, that this becomes a story again, that's on Brian Cashman. That's on Brian Cashman. And I suppose the idea that they, without talking to Gleyber first, traded for a player they wanted to play second base and then had to go a different way once Gleyber told them no, is sort of on the Yankees. I'm open to that. But I am not going to blame Boone or the organization for not forcing Gleyber Torres to play a position he doesn't want to play when you need him to be successful offensively. The last time he switched positions, it killed him. And Gleyber ended up getting hot and being the most productive player this side of Stanton and Soto in the postseason. Like, it worked. Joe in Connecticut. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on? So I just want to talk about St. John's a little.
Sure. Big game tonight.
Yeah, huge. So they've obviously kind of they've reached the point now where they haven't reached since like the mid-80s.
Yeah.
At what point, especially if we win tonight, which I expect we do.
Ooh.
At what point does this become the story of the city? I mean, the Knicks are not as exciting as they were last year. They're a good team. They're not what they were last year. The Rangers have no juice. Football's ending. So, yeah. I mean, at what point does this become the story of the city? And I'll hang up and listen.
The Big East tournament. I don't think it becomes the story of the city during the regular season, no matter how many wins in a row. Not the story of the city. More of a story? More of a story? Yes. Definitely more of a story, where we'll be talking about them on a more regular basis, breaking down maybe a game or, you know, something. I don't know. More of a story. The premier story? Not until, you know, the semifinals of the Big East tournament and then into the NCAA tournament. Then it becomes arguably the story. Because you're right. I mean, I don't know about the Knicks are less exciting. By the way, the Knicks, obviously, just Jericho Sims. They don't do anything else at the trade deadline. The Nets don't really make any moves at the trade deadline. Obviously, a lot happened at the trade deadline, but nothing locally. And the Knicks are buying, you know, going to have to, they're just buying into the idea that the big guy's going to stay healthy. That Mitchell Robinson's going to be able to stay healthy. And if he does, he's going to bring an added element to this team. So we'll see. You know, hopefully that'll help. But they didn't really do anything to change or improve the roster. But I still think they're pretty damn exciting. I'm looking forward to Saturday night against the Celtics. I'll be on with you live during the game. And check it out, because, you know, sometimes you try to, you know, it's radio, to stay away from the game while you're on the radio. I don't want to draw attention to the game while I'm on, but I don't do Saturday nights often. We'll have a, I can't do play-by-play, but we'll talk about the game while it's going on. We'll have a little fun. So if you're watching the Knick game, but, you know, want to hear a little C-Mac while we're doing it, we'll have some fun. But, yeah, the story, probably not even, you know, the tournament. If they're in the finals of the Big East tournament, that would be a big day or whatever, but, like, the continual storyline of the city, probably the tournament. And I would tell you, this, it would be as big a story. Like, if they're in the Final Four with Rick Pitino, we're talking about one of the bigger stories of the year. Like, it's a big deal. If they're in the Final Four, the Elite Eight, with Rick Pitino, it's going to be a big deal. It'll be one of the bigger stories of the year, them in the tournament. But even them against, you know, the rest of the way here, a game against Creighton, a game, you know, it's not going to be the story of the town. We'll be talking about baseball. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to talk about baseball, get into the football a little bit. Is there any truth to the idea that Kansas City is poisoning the Eagles? No, I'm just kidding. The Eagles not feeling so well. How much luck can this team get?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:33, McMonagle here with you. Another hour and a half left of our 5-hour midnight ride. Super Bowl Sunday rapidly approaching. It sounds like some of the guys aren't feeling so well. We'll get to that in a second. A little bit of baseball as I'm getting ready for after Sunday, sending out the best tweet of the year after the game, baseball season. So a little bit of baseball talk here before we get to the football in a little bit. We'll get to the picks. We'll break down the game a little bit, have a little bit of fun. I mean, it's tough for me to care. I know the midday show was talking about the lack of juice to this game. And I'm sure nationally there's tons of juice. And you see the Radio Row and everything, and Shedeur Sanders spoke a little bit. And I have to admit, I'm starting to get more and more excited about the idea of Shedeur Sanders being the quarterback of this team. Getting a little bit more and more excited. He talked up Brian Daboll and what a good man he is and, you know, what a good coach he is and how much he's connected with him. Got to find a way to get one of those two quarterbacks. But, you know, all the Radio Row stuff. So I'm sure there's enthusiasm in the rest of the country, and I'm sure the number is going to be great. I mean, it's the Super Bowl. But I think it's just the idea that it's very difficult to find a team to root for here in New York. We hate Philadelphia, even if you're a Jet fan. Nobody's a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. And to me, as much as we could talk about chasing history and whether or not we're watching the greatest dynasty in the NFL's history. If they win this three-peat, no team has ever done it before. Like, it's hard to get behind that. It's hard to really feel good rooting for that. I don't know. It's just, because then, I mean, at what point does it stop? Like, at one point, like, for those of you who say, I like to see history. No team has ever won 3 in a row. I want to see history. Well, if they win this game, are you rooting for 4 in a row next year? And if they win that game, are you rooting for 5 in a row the year after that? And then 6 and 7 and so on and so on. Like, at what point do you have enough of watching the same team? Now, I respect the hell out of Patrick Mahomes, and I think that's part of the reason why I haven't been as fed up with the Chiefs as I was the Patriots. I enjoy watching the Chiefs play more than I enjoyed watching the Patriots. I think Patrick Mahomes is more fun to watch. Brady's efficient. Brady's the greatest winner ever, and we'll see. I saw RG3 on Dan Patrick. And he said this win would put him above Tom Brady. Now, obviously, Tom Brady has 7 championships. This would give Patrick Mahomes 4. I would tell you this. If you really were asking me, like, cause, and you know how I feel about Tom Brady. He's the greatest winner. I'm not going to argue that. We're going to see if Patrick can overtake him. I do think Patrick's the more talented player than Tom Brady. But I would still say, if you even, like, I don't need much of a reason to try and put Patrick Mahomes over Tom Brady, but I have to be fair. If Tom Brady never went to Tampa Bay, if Tom Brady just had the 6 championships with New England and Bill Belichick, who wore all 6 rings to this award show last night, if Tom Brady had 6 Super Bowl rings, all with New England, I think I'd be willing to tell you this win from Patrick Mahomes would put him over Tom Brady. Even though it's 2 Super Bowls less, the dominance of winning 3 in a row. And early on, like, I know I don't want to dismiss some of the championships. I don't think that Eagle team with Donovan McNabb was very good. It was okay. I don't think it was very good. I certainly don't think the Carolina Panthers team was very good. But it's not even about that. It's just to win 3 in a row in this era of football is very impressive. And I'd be willing to make the case. You could argue against it and say, hey, it's 6-4, fine. But I think you could start to make the case that being the first team ever to win 3 consecutive Super Bowls and having 4 could put him over Tom Brady and Bill Belichick with 6. But the idea that Tom left, and his first year that he left, he went to Tampa Bay, which was a good team. I mean, if it wasn't for Jameis Winston throwing 40 picks, they probably would have been a legitimate contender the year before. They had a good team. They had obviously a lot of good weapons. Evans, Godwin, good offensive line, good defense. You know, he didn't go to some slouch, but still, to leave the nest, to leave the comfort of Belichick and New England, go to Tampa, and the first year win a championship and do it beating Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know how you could say even winning this game and having a three-peat would put him over Tom Brady. Not yet. The win with Tampa is what really solidifies his greatness for me. Because the question of was it him, was it Belichick, goes out the window when he goes and does it in another organization for another team. His first year. The first crack he gets at it, he does it. To me, that's what really separates him from even a 3-time defending champion. But that's the only thing you're rooting for in my mind. I don't care as a Giant fan that we stopped Tom Brady. I would love to see Patrick Mahomes become the greatest winner of all time. But when the game comes on, I'm going to be rooting for it because it's the Eagles, but I don't know. I just feel like it's hard to root for anybody in this game. 888-808-1019. Antonio in Dover Plains. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, Chris. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Chris. Big game for the Knicks to show us what kind of team they are.
Yeah? You know what? I didn't check. Yeah. I left my house, and the Celtics were getting blown out. I'm assuming they lost the game. But the Celtics coming off what will be an embarrassing, let me just make sure. Oh, they made it close, 127-120, but they were getting blown out at home by the Luka-less Mavericks, and they ended up losing at home, they made it respectable, 127-120. It was like a 25-point game when I left my house. So, I mean, that's a tough. You wish they would have won that game because now you would imagine they're pissed off coming into the Garden at 8:30. But I agree. This is going to be a big game. I haven't We haven't heard a word on whether OG is progressing and whether or not he has a chance to play in this game. I hope he does. And yeah, no, so, Saturday night, 8:30 on ABC, Knicks Celtics. We got back-to-back big nights of basketball. We got St. John's UConn tonight, and we got Celtics Knicks tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's see what happens. Hopefully Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns show up. Don't do that like what they did with the Lakers. But I'm calling to talk to you about Jeff McNeil with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear your opinion on this. I just feel like Jeff McNeil, he's a selfish player. I was watching some games from last year where when the Mets started a hot streak and he was struggling, like he was slamming his helmet and pissed off, and the team was on the run, and then he only claps when he gets a hit. I just feel like I'd rather Mauricio or Acuña to fight for second base if we can't sign Iglesias. I want to see what you think about that.
Yeah, I don't know if he's selfish or he's just one of those mental cases, and you know I use that term in all good-natured. You know, he's the kind of guy who can't get past his own failures. Like, there are people like that, no matter how good things are going for the team. And I'm sure once the game is over and he gets away from it, on some level, he's happy the team won. It's not like all he focuses on is his own personal success. But in the moment, he can't get past the idea that he failed. There are people like that. I don't know if it's necessarily selfish. I don't think he should he be happy because they're winning and he has a bad at-bat? Because then you could say Paul O'Neill was pretty selfish. I've seen Paul O'Neill, while the Yankees were winning, beat up many a water cooler. And I don't think anybody called Paul O'Neill selfish. He was just one of those guys who couldn't get past giving away and feeling like he gave away an at-bat or had a bad swing or the umpire screwed him. Like, he's just one of those guys. He's definitely one of those guys. And there's been issues with him. I mean, obviously, him and Lindor have had their moments. And ultimately, it's about the player. And to me, the player is versatile defensively. And when he's going well, you know, he can hit. He's won a batting title. But overall, since he's won that batting title, there have been too many long, long, long stretches where he's inept at the plate and doesn't drive the baseball at all and gives you the ugliest ass going one way, hands in the bat going another kind of at bat. He's not quite as bad, but sometimes when he's going bad, he reminds me a little bit, and I know they're completely different people by swing, stature, and everything else, but he reminds me a little bit of Giancarlo Stanton in the way where, for a guy who has a batting title in his back pocket, he will give you some of the ugliest swings, like, man, this guy won a batting title? This is a professional baseball player? He looks like my cousin in Little League out there swinging. And Stanton's the same way. You know, Stanton goes off in the postseason, is a borderline Hall of Famer. Won an MVP. And he'll have a week where he gives you a steady dose of swings that you're just like, holy crap. These are the ugliest swings I've ever seen. McNeil can give you, they're different, but he'll give you swings like that. Mostly McNeil does it in the effort to just kind of make contact or foul the ball off, or if he's fooled, he'll take a chance because he's got good hand-eye coordination. I don't know, but he has these ugly swings. Ultimately, I think the Mets would be better off without him. I definitely think signing Iglesias and moving on, seeing if you could trade Jeff McNeil, would absolutely be a certain way to go. I don't know about Acuña starting the year at a position. I do like Acuña as, you know, an off-the-bench guy, can play shortstop. I don't know. I gotta think about that. I would love to see Iglesias back. But McNeil's got a lot to prove before I feel really good about McNeil being on this team. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
They should bring Iglesias back. Look what he did. He did a lot of things for them in a lot of positions. And he made it work. And that OMG, well, that was the driving force behind them. And the grimace and whatever. But the Yankees with Glaber, once Glaber said he would not move, that was a very bad mistake on his behalf. He should have accepted because he did. Did he not play third base in the minors?
Yes, he did. In the minors he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, And the transition from second to third is not as bad as transitioning from third to second. Am I right?
No, I don't know. I mean, there's more responsibilities. There's more cutoffs. There's more, you know, turning the double play. I don't know if it's easier or harder to go from one infield position to another. I don't know. Well, I guess, but.
Jasper's a better second. Is a better second baseman than Glaber.
Yeah, but you could argue he's a better third baseman than Glaber.
Well, that's probably true also because he came in when he got to the team. He just said, "I will go play third base."
Right,
and he was willing to go.
Yeah.
And
Bellinger now. I'll play first. I'll play center. I'll play left. I don't care whatever you need me to do, coach.
I think they should put Dominguez in center because that's where he feels most comfortable. But putting him in left, don't you think that's not a good thing?
I hear you, Stu, and I agree with you. I'd rather have him more comfortable in center. When Boone was in here with BT and Sal, he gave the reasoning why he likes the idea of Dominguez in left. He doesn't want to move Dominguez. He doesn't want to move him at all. So you put him in left and you never have to move him. Because if you put him in center and you give Judge a day off and you're going to play Grisham, they feel like Grisham is such a good center fielder that they'll put Grisham in center. So then you're moving around the outfield because if you give Judge a DH day, which I'm sure he's going to get a good amount of, now you're moving Grisham to center and you're moving your center fielder to either left or right and your left fielder to right. If you just move him in center, if you just keep him in left and he never gets off of left, then when you give Judge a DH day, you bring in Grisham, you put him in center, and you play Bellinger in right. Now, is that a good enough reason to not have the kid comfortable? I don't know. Could you just put Grisham in left? I think you could. I don't think that's his reasoning, and I sort of understand it. If you're going to play Grisham, you might as well have the benefit of your best center fielder playing center field. Like, they view Grisham as the roster's best center fielder. So on days you play Grisham, you want to take advantage of that because he's not going to give you much offensively. So you want to take advantage of his defensive skills. So you'd like him to play center field when he plays. And if you put Dominguez in center, every time you do that, you're moving Dominguez. I don't know. I'd rather have the kid more comfortable. I understand the reasoning on some level. I'd rather just have the kid more comfortable in a position he's more comfortable with. But that's why you have 6 weeks of spring training. And if he looks awful in left field, maybe they'll force him in center. If he's bad defensively in left, they'll just play him in center and scrap this plan. Maureen Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. Now, I don't know if there's any FCC rules or restrictions, but I'm willing to give you 5 minutes to rest your voice up and start with, "Hey, good morning, everybody!"
Yeah.
So I'll be taking your calls. So how you feeling, buddy?
I'm okay. I feel fine. Because I'm talking this much, I'm getting tickles in my throat that are leading to a little bit of a coughing fit. And the coughing fit is causing me to have my body ache and my head pound. But besides that, yeah, I mean, my throat's a little raspy, but the last couple of days I felt crappy. Today I feel pretty good. I'm just still dealing with the cough.
Can we do a pick and roll around Sal on the basketball court still?
Hell yes, we can.
Yeah, right. So let's do it. Me, you against BT and Sal. Well,
I'm in,
guys. Okay.
I saw Keith. He said the same thing. He was like, C-Mac, it is basketball here. What does that mean? What does that mean? That I can't run up and down the court? Maybe not the whole game. You might need some load management. But
that's my biggest problem.
I've got
a lot of gas.
You guys are going to be... I'm tired. Every once in a while, there's a great... I forget the name of the movie, but there's a great story about Christopher Walken in some movie. I don't know the name of it. But he gives this like analogy of a lion where he talks about... He's like the lion sitting there in the sun, and he doesn't, he's relaxing. He just finished eating. He's just sitting there, and then, the lioness comes, and she starts messing with his ears and messing with his tail. And he doesn't do anything, and then the hyenas see what the lioness is doing, and they come, and they start messing with him, and they start eating the food around him, and they start taking from what is his, and eventually the lion just gets up and tears them all to shreds, because eventually the lion has to show everybody that he's the lion. And I think that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to get on a court, on a field, on something to show everybody that I'm a lion.
I love it. I know you are a lion, my friend. So going back to the Yankees and the beards and all this stuff, listen.
Yes.
I just want to get this season started. I still think there's a chance for Arenado. I don't know why, because Stroman's still out there. But if we go with what we have and we stay focused on defense and pitching, it'll get us to where we need to be. And then we can make trades at the end or during the season. So I feel pretty good about the season. I don't think we won the offseason like all the stuff that's going on or whatever people talk about. Look, we lost the best player in the game to our, across the town to our friends in Orange. But God bless you. The crown is heavy. God bless you. Let's see where you're at the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point.
To go to Sanders, I do think that he's our best option. I mean, but I'm seeing him at 12 on some draft picks, which is weird. I don't know why.
12?
He seems to be the right fit. Yeah. He's on.
Maybe I've seen lists where he's the 12th best player in the draft, but not that he's going to get picked. He's not going to get past 11.
So he's going top five no matter what, right?
I think he's going top three no matter what. But yes.
Top three. Okay. He
could be ranked the 12th best player in the draft, I suppose. I've seen most of them have him better than that, but there's no way he's going 12th pick. He's going to get picked before then.
So if we get either one, we got to still get a veteran guy to come in, and then we'll have the Cutler guy as the third, right?
Yeah.
That's how it's going to work most likely. I kind of like it.
Oh, absolutely. I like it.
And you guys and another year.
Yeah, I love it. And you don't have to play Sanders right away. And the guy around that we've been talking about is Jameis Winston. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think Winston has – I don't want to bring him in here as the veteran to be the quarterback. Like, if they don't draft the quarterback because it doesn't fall to them, and then, you know, they draft Hunter or the edge rusher out of Penn State, Abdul Carter – and then they pass on the quarterback, then I don't want to, and they're going to go get a veteran to try and win this year, then I don't want Jameis Winston. But if I draft a young quarterback and I need a guy to come in and play for 6 to 10 weeks or something and mentor the young quarterback, I think Jameis Winston's a great idea. Plus, I really think him and Malik Nabers, he'll throw a ton of picks, but him and Malik Nabers will have a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. So could do worse. But yeah, and then the whole thing about the offseason, I talked about this last night or yesterday, and I saw the morning show do it, and I saw, you know, I commented on Lugie's tweet. He said the Yankees, Mets offseason better than the Yankees offseason. And I said, well, that and a dollar will get you a Lugie tweet t-shirt that says Jalen Brunson isn't great. Like, that and a cup of coffee, that and a dollar gets you a cup of coffee. Like, who cares who won the offseason? We're that's a big discussion. Ooh, who won the offseason? Who cares who won the offseason? Since when do you get a trophy for winning the offseason? I don't think there's any doubt, though. The Mets offseason was far better than the Yankees. Doesn't mean they'll win anything. Doesn't mean they'll have a better season than the Yankees. But it's hard to argue. Their offseason was better. They got the best player available. They got Juan Soto, and Yankee fans, don't have revisionist history. Don't tell me he's not good in right field and like all the issues with him. Please, stop it. You watch them every day. He's an incredible player. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him terribly. I'm glad, in some level, and I know you're going to think I'm crazy and Met fans are going to think I'm lying. On some level, as much baseball as I watch, I'm glad he's a Met because I watch every Met game, and I love watching Juan Soto play baseball. So on some level, if he was going to leave, as much as it hurts that he went to the Mets, and as much as we have to deal with the better offseason and the Kings of the City and the Big Brother and all that nonsense, I'm somewhat a little bit happy that he stayed here in New York because I want to watch him. Because he's that much fun to watch. His at-bats are that much fun. And I love baseball. And watching him play baseball is the most fun. Judge is the better player. Ohtani is the better player. And the idea of watching Ohtani pitch and hit, great. But just go watch that at-bat where he hits the home run to send him to the World Series. Just watch the at-bat, not even just the final pitch. Watch the at-bat and tell me that's not as fun as baseball gets. He turns the chess match between the pitcher and hitter. He wears it on his face. He wears it in his body language. Like he has the ability to communicate to you his thought process throughout an at-bat. It's freaking awesome. It's awesome. And he's an incredible player. So please, while I don't think Met fans should be taking bows for having the better offseason or bragging about having the better offseason, doesn't change the fact that they did. They had the better offseason. It's got to culminate in winning.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.